Legacy by James H. Schmitz. Chapter 23. Trigger came out of the Saradim trance hours before Liad awoke from the stunner blast she'd absorbed. The commissioner was sitting in a chair beside her bunk, napping. She looked around a moment, feeling very comfortable and secure. This was her personal cabin on Commissioner Tate's ship, the one he referred to as the Big Job, modeled after the long-range patrol ships of the Space Scouts. It wasn't actually very big, but 6 or 7 people could go traveling around in it very comfortably. At the moment, it appeared to be howling through subspace at its hellish rate again, going somewhere. Well, that could keep. Trigger reached out and poked the commissioner's knee. "Hey, Halati," she whispered. "Wake up." His eyes opened. He looked at her and smiled. "Back again, eh?" he said. Trigger motioned at the door. "Close it," she whispered. "Got something to tell you." "Talk away," he said. "Quillen's piloting, the First Lady's out cold, and Mantellish got dive sick and I doped him. Nobody else on board." Trigger lay back and looked at him. "This is going to sound pretty odd," she warned him. Then she told him what Repulsive had done and what he was trying to do. The commissioner looked badly shaken. "You sure of that, Trigger?"
"Sure I'm sure."
"Trying to talk to you?"
"That's it."
He blinked at her.
"I looked in the bag and the thing was gone."
"Liad knows it's gone," Trigger said. "So in case she gets a chance to blab to someone, we'll say you had it." He nodded and stood up.
"You stay here," he said.
"Prescription for the kind of treatment you've had is a day of bed rest."
"Where are you going?"
"I'm going to go talk to that psychology ship," he said. "And just let them try to stall me this time." He went off up the passage toward the transmitter cabinet in the forward part of the ship. Some minutes passed. Then Trigger suddenly heard Commissioner Tate's voice raised in great wrath. She listened. It appeared the psychology service had got off on the wrong foot by advising him once more to stay calm. He came back presently and sat down beside the bunk, still a little red in the face.
"They're going to follow us," he said. "If they hadn't, I would have turned back and gunned our way on board that lopsided disgrace of theirs."
"Follow us? Where?" He grunted.
"A place called Luscious. We'll be there in under a week. It'll take them about 3. But they're starting immediately."
Trigger blinked. "Looks like the plasmoids have made it to the head of the problem list."
"I wouldn't be surprised," said the commissioner. "I was put through to that Pilch after a while. She said to remind you to listen to your thinking whenever you can get around to it. Know what she meant?"
"I'm not sure I do," Trigger said hesitantly. "But she's mentioned it. I'll give it a whirl. Why are we going to Luscious?"
"Ceylon's fleet found plasmoids on it. It's in the Vishni area."
"What kind of plasmoids?" He shrugged.
"They don't amount to much from what I've heard. Small stuff, but definitely plasmoid. It looks like somebody might have done some experimenting there for a while, and not long ago."
"Did they find the big one?"
"Not yet. No trace of any people on Luscious either."
He chewed his lip thoughtfully for a moment.
"About an hour after we picked you and Liad up," he said, "we had a council order transmitted to the ship. Told us to swing off course a bit and rendezvous with a fast courier boat of theirs. What for? The order said the courier was to take Liad on board and head for the hub with her. Some diplomatic business. He scratched his chin. It also instructed us to treat the First Lady of Tranest with the courtesy due to her station meanwhile.
Brother! Trigger said, outraged.
Just too bad I couldn't read that message, said Halati Tate. Some gravitic disturbance. Rendezvous points hours behind us. They'll never catch up.
Ho ho, said Trigger. But that's being pretty insubordinate, Halati.
It was till just now, he said. I mentioned that we had Liad on board to that Pilch person. She said she'd speak to the Council. We're to hang on to Liad, and when Pilch gets to Luscious, she'll interview her.
Trigger grinned. Now that, she remarked, gives me a feeling of great satisfaction somehow. When Pilch gets her little mitts on someone, there isn't much left out.
I had that impression. Meanwhile, we'll put the Ermatine through a routine questioning ourselves when she gets over being groggy. Courtesy will be on the moderate side. She'll probably spill part of what she knows, especially if you sit there and hand her the beady stare from time to time.
That, Trigger assured him, will be hardly an effort at all.
I can imagine. You're pretty sure that thing will show up again?
Trigger nodded. Just leave the handbag with me.
All right. He stood up. I've got a hot lunch prepared for you. I'll bring the bag along. Then you can tell me what happened after they grabbed you.
How did you find out I was gone? Trigger asked.
You're Fak, he said. The girl was darn good, actually. I talked to you, her, on office transmitter once, and didn't spot a sour note. Mostly she just kept out of everybody's way. Very slick at it. We would have got her fairly fast because we were preparing for takeoff to Luscious by then. But then she spilled it herself.
How?
I located her finally again on transmitter screen. There was no one on her side to impress. She took a sniff of Porgy.
Trigger laughed delightedly. Good old Porgy Pouch. It beat them twice. But how did you know where I was?
No problem there. We knew Liad had strings on Pluli. Quillen knew about that sealed level on Pluli's yacht and got Pluli to invite him over to admire the harem right after the Dawn City arrived. While he was admiring, he was also recording floor patterns for a sub-tub gent. That gimmick's pretty much of a spilled secret now, but on a swap for you and Liad, it was worth it. We came aboard 5 minutes after we'd nabbed your Fak.
The Ermatine figured you'd go chasing after the Aurora, Trigger said.
Well, the Commissioner said tolerantly, the Ermatine's pretty young. The Aurora was a bit obvious.
How come Quillen didn't start wondering when I didn't show up in Montelish's lab with Repulsive?
So that's what he was for, Halati said.
He rubbed the side of his jaw.
I was curious about that angle. That wasn't Quillen. That was Quillen's Fak.
In Montelish's lab? Trigger said, startled.
Sure. That's how they all got in. In those specimen crates Montelish has been lugging into the dome the past couple of days. It looks like the Prof's been hypnotized up to his ears for months.
The last 5 hours of her day of recuperative rest, Trigger spent asleep, her cabin door locked and the plasmoid purse open on the bunk beside her. Halati had come by just before to report that the Ermatine was now awake, but very groggy. Apparently more than a little shocked, and not yet quite able to believe she was still alive. He'd dose her with this and that, and interrogations would be postponed until everybody was on their feet. When Trigger woke up from her 5-hour nap, the purse was shut. She opened it and looked inside. Repulsive was down there, quietly curled up. "Smart little bugger, aren't you?" she said, not entirely with approval. Then she reached in and gave him a pat. She locked the purse, got dressed, and went up to the front of the ship, carrying Repulsive along. All four of the others were up in the lounge area, which included the partitioned control section. The partition had been slid into the wall, and the commissioner, who was at the controls at the moment, had swung his seat half around toward the lounge. He glanced at the plasmoid purse as Trigger came in, grinned, and gave her a small wink.
"Come in and sit down," he said. "We've been waiting for you."
Trigger sat down and looked at them. Something, apparently, had been going on. Quillen's tanned face was thoughtful, perhaps a trifle amused. Montelish looked very red and angry. His shock of white hair was wildly rumpled. The ermatine appeared a bit wilted.
"What's been going on?" Trigger asked.
It was the wrong question. Montelish took a deep breath and began bellowing like a wounded thunder orc. Trigger listened with some admiration. It was one of the best jobs of well-verbalized huffing she'd heard, even from the professor. He ran down in less than 5 minutes, though. Apparently, he'd already let off considerable steam. Liad had de-hypnotized him, at the commissioner's suggestion. It had been a lengthy job, requiring a couple of hours, but it was a complete one. Which was understandable, since it was the First Lady herself, Trigger gathered gradually from the noise, who had put Montelish under the influence back in his own garden on Macadon, and within 2 weeks after his first return from Harvest Moon. It was again Liad who had given Montelish his call to bemused duty via a transmitted verbal cue on her arrival in Manon, and instructed him to get lost from his League guards for a few hours in Manon's swamps. There she had met and conferred with him, and pumped him of all he could tell her. As the final outrage, she had instructed him to lug her crated cohorts, preserved like Pluli's harem ladies, into the pre-call dome, to care for them tenderly there, and at the proper cued moment to release them for action, all under the illusion that they were priceless biological specimens. Montelish wasn't in the least appeased by the fact that, again at the commissioner's suggestion, Liad had installed one minor new hypno command, which, she said, would clear up permanently his tendency toward attacks of dive sickness. But he just ran down finally and sat there, glowering at the ermatine now and then. "Well," the commissioner remarked, "this might be as good a time as any to ask a few questions. Got your little quizzer with you, Quillen?" Quillen nodded. Liad looked at both of them in turn, and then, briefly, and for the first time, glanced in Trigger's direction. It wasn't exactly an appealing glance. It might have been a questioning one. And Trigger discovered suddenly that she felt just a little sympathy for Liad. Liad had lost out on a very big gamble. And, each in his own way, there were three very formidable males among whom she was sitting. None of them was friendly, two were oversized, and the undersized one had a fairly blood-chilling record for anyone on the wrong side of law and order. Trigger decided to forget about beady stares for the moment.
Cheer up, Liad, she said. Nobody's going to hurt you. Just give them the answers. She got another glance. Not a grateful one, exactly. Not an ungrateful one, either. Temporary support had been acknowledged. Commissioner Tate has informed me, the Ermatine said, that this group does not recognize the principle of diplomatic immunity in my case. Under the circumstances, I must accept that. And so I shall answer any questions I can. She looked at the pocket quiz her Quillen was checking over unhurriedly. But such verification instruments are of no use in questioning me. Why not? Quillen asked idly. I've been conditioned against them, of course, Liad said. I'm an Ermatine of Tranest. By the time I was 12 years old, that toy of yours couldn't have registered a reaction from me that I didn't want it to show. Quillen slipped the toy back in his pocket. True enough, First Lady, he said. And that's one small strike in your favor. We thought you might try to gimmick the gadget. Now, we'll just pitch you some questions. A recorder's on. Don't stall on the answers. And he and the commissioner started flipping out questions. The Ermatine flipped back the answers. As far as Trigger could tell, there wasn't any stalling or any time for it. Azul. Dr. Azul had been her boy from the start. He was now on Tranest. The main item in his report to her had been the significance of the 112-113 plasmoid unit. He'd also reported that Trigger Argy had become unconscious on Harvest Moon. They'd considered the possibility that somebody was controlling Trigger Argy, or attempting to control her, because of her connections with the plasmoid operations. Just Fail. Liad had been looking for Dr. Fail as earnestly as everyone else after his disappearance. She had not been able to buy him. So far as she knew, nobody had been able to buy him. Dr. Fail had appeared to intend to work for himself. He was, at present, well outside the hub's area of space. He still had 112-113 with him. Yes, she could become more specific about the location, with the help of star maps. Let's get them out, said Commissioner Tate. They got them out. The Ermatine presently circled a largest section of the Vishni fleet's area. The questions began again. 113-A. Professor Montelish had told her of his experiments with this plasmoid. There was an interruption here, while Montelish huffed reflexively, but it was very brief. The professor wanted to learn more about the First Lady's depravities himself. And its various possible associations with the main unit. But by the time this information became available to her, 113-A had been placed under heavy guard. Professor Montelish had made one attempt to smuggle it out to her. Hoof, hoof. But had been unable to walk past the guards with it. Tranest agents had made several unsuccessful attempts to pick up the plasmoid. She knew that another group had made similarly unsuccessful attempts, the Divagas. She did not yet know the specific nature of 113A's importance, but it was important. Trigger. Trigger Argy might be able to tell them why Trigger was important. Dr. Fail certainly could. So could the top ranks of the Divagas hierarchy. Liad at the moment could not. She did know that Trigger Argy's importance was associated directly with that of plasmoid 113A. This information had been obtained from a Divagas operator, now dead. Not Balmorden.
The operator had been in charge of the attempted pickup on Eva Lee. The much more elaborate affair at the Colonial School had been a Tronest job. A Divagas group had made attempts to interfere with it, but had been disposed of. Pluli. Liad had strings on Belchik. He was afraid of the Divagas, but somewhat more terrified of her. His fear of the Divagas was due to the fact that he and an associate had provided the hierarchy with a very large quantity of contraband materials. The nature of the materials indicated the Divagas were constructing a major fortified outpost on a world either airless or with poisonous atmosphere. Pluli's associate had since been murdered. Pluli believed he was next in line to be silenced. Balmordan. Balmordan had been a rather high-ranking Divagas intelligence agent. Liad had heard of him only recently. He had been in charge of the attempts to obtain 113-A. Liad had convinced him that she would make a very dangerous competitor in the Manon area. She also had made information regarding her activities there available to him. So Balmordan and a select group of his gunmen had attended Pluli's party on Pluli's yacht. They had been allowed to force their way into the sealed level, and were there caught in a blacklight trap. The gunmen had been killed. Balmordan had been questioned. The questioning revealed that the Divagas had found Dr. Fail and the 112-113 unit almost immediately after Fail's disappearance. They had succeeded in creating some working plasmoids. To go into satisfactory operation, they still needed 113-A. Balmordan had not known why. But they no longer needed Trigger Argy. Trigger Argy was now to be destroyed at the earliest opportunity. Again, Balmordan had not known why. Fail and his unit were in the fortress dome the Divagas had been building. It was in the area Liad had indicated. It was supposed to be very thoroughly concealed. Balmordan might or might not have known its exact coordinates. His investigators made the inevitable slip, finally, and triggered a violent mind-block reaction. Balmordan had died. Dead-braining him had produced no further relevant information. The little drumfire of questions ended abruptly. Trigger glanced at her watch. It had been going on for only 15 minutes, but she felt somewhat dizzy by now. The Ermatine just looked a little more wilted. After a minute, Commissioner Tate inquired politely whether there was any further information the First Lady could think of to give them at this time. She shook her head no. Only Professor Montelish believed her. But the interrogation was over, apparently. End of chapter 23.